It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. Well, the state Senate could be taking up the matter of incentives for Kimberly-Clark to keep two factories in the state of Wisconsin open. These paper mills are scheduled to close, and the Assembly has already approved about $100 million worth of incentives to keep those plants here. But there's trouble in the Senate. We're going to talk about that in this segment of the Morning Show with Patrick Marley, who covers state government and politics for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. I want to know, listeners, how you feel about these kinds of incentives to keep factories open and people working. At least that's the theory in the state of Wisconsin. 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Ideas@WPR.org is the email address. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Patrick Marley, welcome to the Morning Show.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
State Senate President Roger Roth says he wants the Senate to reconvene to approve an incentive package for Kimberly-Clark. What's in this package?
So this would give about $100 million over a number of years to Kimberly-Clark to keep two of its plants in the Fox Valley open. Kimberly-Clark announced in January that it was shedding about 5,000 jobs worldwide, and as part of that was closing those two facilities, which employ about 600 people.
So Roth was not able to get this deal through the Senate in the spring, and then the Senate adjourned for the year. So why is he bringing this back up now? What's the rush?
So it passed the Assembly in early in the spring, and Roth, who's from Appleton, I guess, so right in that area, you know, he tried to get it through. There's the usual crush of legislation at the end of session, and the Senate Majority Leader, Scott Fitzgerald, said, look, the union and the company have this contract they're trying to work out. The company hasn't even said if they want this incentive package, so we're not going to do anything until that is resolved. So they ended their session without taking up the Kimberly-Clark incentive package. Now, just recently, in the last few weeks, the union has ratified a contract that has some concessions for workers. We don't know the precise details. And the company has said that it does want an incentive package. So that's given Roth an opportunity to try to, get this thing back in front of senators. Again, it's just really difficult because they're out of session, they're close to the election, and Republicans who control the Senate are split on the issue.
Well, Governor Walker and many other lawmakers are up for re-election, as you point out, and that seems to be a really big thing both ways. What's at play here, and what's the back and forth on within the Republican caucus in the Senate for and against this package?
Sure. So, this incentive package is modeled on the deal that was given last year to Foxconn, the Taiwanese technology company that's building a plant in Mount Pleasant. And that was, on a per-job basis, much bigger incentive than Wisconsin had ever given. And the argument at the time was that this was this industry that was supposed to bring a new type of job to Wisconsin and transform its economy. And so Governor Walker and others said that warrants these much larger subsidies than we've given in the past. After that deal got through, Kimberly-Clark, a very old company, announced its plans for these closures, and the Walker administration came up with a package that's the same in terms of obviously the total dollar figure. It's much smaller because there are fewer jobs at stake, but on a per-job basis, the same type of incentive. And so that has caused some consternation with some people like Roth saying, look, we need to save these jobs. These are good jobs that have been around for a long time. And others saying, look, that was a special incentive package for a certain type of industry. We're not going to do that for just anybody. If we do this for Kimberly-Clark, then any company that runs into trouble is going to come to the state asking for bigger subsidy packages than we've ever given.
Well, some Democrats are saying, well, look, Kimberly-Clark got this massive tax cut, and instead they used it for stock buyback instead of investing in employees. Why should we help them?
Yes, that is what Senator Baldwin, obviously, she's in the U.S. Senate. She doesn't have anything to do with this Senate package, but that's the concern she's raised about this, is that she wants to help the paper industry, but said Kimberly-Clark, like many businesses, benefited from this federal tax cut. And then soon afterwards said they were making these job cuts. So she wants to see more investment in workers rather than additional, a partial bailout from taxpayers.
We're talking with Pat. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, you're hearing that from a lot of Democrats in the state Senate, and they're in the minority. It looks like it will be pretty difficult for the Republicans to get votes from Democrats because they feel that the protections for workers aren't strong enough in this package.
And we don't really know what's in the agreement between the union and Kimberly-Clark, but it's concessions anyway. We're talking about possible incentives for Kimberly-Clark to keep some jobs in Wisconsin. Patrick Marley is my guest. He covers state government and politics for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Patrick, which Republicans oppose this deal, and how likely is it that that Majority Leader Fitzgerald is going to be able to find enough votes to actually pass this thing?
So it's kind of interesting because really the only we only know where two people stand, and that is Roger Ross, who wants to pass it, and then Chris Kapinger, the Republican from Delafield. He has come out in opposition to this on the argument that we shouldn't have these kinds of subsidy packages for longstanding businesses. There's 33 members of the Senate, so right now it's sort of a one-to-one vote because everyone else has been quiet. A lot of the Republicans either just aren't saying what they would do or saying that they need to review this further. And then on the Democratic side, you've got mostly opposition with a few, or at least one thing, he'd review it and keep his eyes open on it. But for the most part, extreme skepticism from Democrats, which I think is a sign that the Republicans would be very hard-pressed to get votes from them. Republicans control the Senate 18-15. With Kapinga off that vote, they can't really lose another Republican vote if no Democrat goes for this. Kapinga is part of the most conservative wing of the Republican caucus, and there are a few others who often travel with him. So I think it would be a very steep climb for them to put together the votes on this one.
And also, there would be some Republicans who might face some voter discontent if they supported this. Isn't there at least one of those?
Well, sure. I mean, I think that there's going to be some voter concern here. You know, for the politics of it are really regionally based, right? For Roger Ross, it's great politics. This is saving 600 jobs in or near his district. For somebody like Howard Markline, who's in southwestern Wisconsin and up for election this year, it would be a much tougher vote because already there's concern for senators outside of southeastern Wisconsin that voters don't think the Foxconn deal is going to help the economy or jobs in their area. They're skeptical of that, polling shows. For him to then go vote for a similar incentive package for the Fox Valley and not be able to, you know, have something concrete to deliver in his own district would be very tough. So I think when you look at these, and he's just one senator I give an example of, but you can, go up to central Wisconsin or northwestern Wisconsin, and I think you'd find other senators in sort of a similar box. Mm-hmm.
Well, and then on the other side, you've got Democratic senators like Dave Hansen of Green Bay and Caleb Prossman of Sturgeon Bay, who this deal would affect jobs near their districts, not necessarily in their districts. Do they have to be giving this some consideration?
Sure. So Prossman is kind of the most interesting case because he just got elected in a special election that was held this summer. He's never taken a vote in the legislature. He already stands for election again in November. He's the former director of economic development for Door County. And he's the one Democrat who has shown the most openness to the idea, or at least the most willingness to consider it. It is somewhat close to his district. That said, he, on the campaign trail, was extremely critical of the Foxconn deal, saying as someone in economic development, he did not see it as a good deal, that he thought it was too generous from taxpayers, that the payback to the state was not good enough. And this deal for Kimberly-Clark is essentially the same deal on a per-job basis. So I think they'd have some trouble persuading him. That said, he has not given the an outright no on it.
Hmm. Are Democrats kind of saying, you know, I told you so after the Foxconn deal, this would be a ripple effect and that other companies would be coming to the state, or it might be easier for the state to start handing out these tax deals to companies to keep jobs here? Is that kind of their point they're making?
Yeah, that is one of the points the Democrats are making. And in fact, that is a concern that is being raised by a lot of conservatives, you know, groups like the MacIver Institute and the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, which tend to, I shouldn't say tend to, which do oppose, taxpayer investment in private business because they see it as interfering with the market and picking winners and losers. They've been quite critical of the Kimberly-Clark deal, saying, industries change, that the taxpayer should stay out of it, and they're concerned that Foxconn created this precedent, particularly when, at the time the Foxconn deal was announced, everyone from the governor on down in terms of supporters were saying this was a special deal, this was a one-time thing for this, once in a generation was the phrase they used, for this new kind of industry coming into Wisconsin. And then, within months, when a very mature company runs into trouble, they're offering the same kind of incentive package. That's got concerns of both the left and the right.
Mm. And where's Governor Walker on this Kimberly-Clark deal?
He's been supporting it since the spring. He said he's wanted it to happen. Again, when you look at the politics of this, I think things are a little bit different when you're running for statewide office than versus the legislature. And the legislature, it's like it either helps your district or it doesn't. When you're a governor, you want to be saving jobs and creating jobs anywhere in the state. It's a place to get votes. Because of that, I think it's interesting to watch someone like State Senator Leah Buchner, who's running for U.S. Senate. She's from Brookfield, very conservative lawmaker who tends to vote like a person like Chris Kapinga. She hasn't said. She said she needs to review this deal more. Obviously, she's used to representing a conservative district in southeastern Wisconsin. Now she's got to think about things on a statewide basis as she runs for U.S. Senate.
So is Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald leaning in favor of reconvening to pass this incentive package or not?
We don't know where he is personally. The Republican senators are going to meet privately this week and discuss what they do on this. Fitzgerald, in general, is one to sort of just get the pulse of his caucus to see where he goes. So he has not been pushing for this, nor has he been trying to avoid it. At least, publicly, he hasn't done either of those things. I think what's going to happen is he's going to go there, get a sense of where his members are, and if he thinks he's close to the votes, try to get them, maybe engage in some negotiations with Democrats, see if any of his members are persuadable. And I think if there are if he doesn't see a path to getting the votes, I think he'll rather quickly drop it.
So if you had to make a bet on this, and maybe that's not the metaphor I want to use when it comes to state policymaking, but if you had to put money down on one side or the other, how likely do you think it is that we're going to see the Senate reconvene and take up this this package?
I would be surprised if they got to a point where they could bring it to the floor. Never say never. In politics in general, it's bad to make predictions. And I think you look at things that have happened in the last 5-6 years in this state nationally, it's a particular reminder that we shouldn't get too hung up on making predictions. But at this moment in time, it looks like a very tough road for Roger Ross and other supporters of the deal. Perhaps they can persuade their colleagues, but if I was a betting man, I would bet against it at this moment.
So the assembly took this up in the spring, and they passed it on a pretty much a party line vote. Are there any members of the assembly who might be having some second thoughts now? We mentioned that that Senator Markline, who's in the southwestern portion of the state, he's facing reelection, and so he's he's thinking, well, I probably better not, you know, this doesn't do anything for my district. I shouldn't support it. But there were members of the assembly in his district. Did any of the Republicans in the assembly, did they defect on this? Did they vote against it because of the politics, the local politics angle?
Right. That's an interesting question because Representative Todd Novak, who's an assembly member, a Republican in Mark Lane's district, is one of the few Republicans to have voted against the Kimberly-Clark deal. So I think you can look to that as a sign, you know, and that's back in February. Obviously, we're closer to the election now. So I think that would give Mark Lane, you know, some pause and something to think about there. I don't know that... I don't know that at this stage anybody on either side in the assembly is rethinking their vote. I think in general, voting for something that doesn't end up becoming law is often not a liability. What's a problem is if you take a quote-unquote bad vote or what some perceive or characterize as a bad vote for something that then goes on to become law, that's a lot more of a challenge because voters understand you know, this action was taken and it was put into effect. It's a little, you know, there are a lot of gotcha votes in the legislature where people say, hey, they wanted to do this, but it didn't become law. And it's a harder diagram to draw for voters.
So this isn't likely to be a really big campaign issue anywhere outside the Fox Valley.
You know, at the moment, I don't think so. I think at the moment it would be a big issue in the Fox Valley and not elsewhere. Now, should they get the deal through, then I think it would could very well become part of a narrative. You know, the Democrats are clearly Foxconn is an issue they will be campaigning on a lot, as Republicans will be. I mean, the governor is going to be out there, you know, campaigning on it as a great thing that they've done for the state while Democrats are detracting it. If Kimberly-Clark is part of the deal, then I think you would also see Democrats use that to argue that there's two, you know, they'd call it corporate welfare and say it's just another example of making deals for corporations.
Very quickly, because we're up against a news break here, has there been any public reaction to this, any public polling on where people across the state stand on this issue?
I have not seen public polling on it. We've seen public polling on Foxconn, which is very mixed and a lot of concern among voters outside of southeastern Wisconsin that it will not improve the economy in their area.
All right, Patrick Marley, thank you very much for joining us on the morning show today.
Thanks for having me.
Patrick Marley covers state government and politics for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Coming up, we're going to talk about body cam footage and how access to it might be changing. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. The news is next.